Hello and welcome to ORA Speaks, a podcast designed to tell the many stories of the prominent work done by the Office of Regulatory Affairs. My name is Ulysses Garrett, your host and the multimedia manager for the Office of Communications and Project Management. ORA's public affairs program has been celebrating a major milestone. On November 9th, 2022, the program turned 70 years old. And in those 70 years, a lot has happened towards the growth and progression of the program. The individuals who have strapped on their boots and hit the pavement in their roles as a public affairs specialist are key to our primary field staff. Their stories are our stories and are important and should be heard. Today, I'm talking to three very important people who have had or had played a pivotal role in the public affairs program as a public affairs specialist. First up is Rosario Quintanilla, a public affairs specialist from Los Angeles, California. Next up is Maggie Fu, a public affairs specialist from Seattle, Washington. And finally, a recent retiree, now living the good life, I'm jealous, Nilda Villegas from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Thank you, ladies, and welcome. Let's get into things. PAB is celebrating 70 wonderful years. Rosario, let's start with you. Can you talk about the history and how it all started?
Sure, but given the history goes back so long, I even had to do some research. And I found in the FDA papers of November of 1968, they did a really wonderful recap as to describing the start of the FDA program. It started in 1952, hiring women to conduct consumer education on a part-time level. A lot of these women were home economics majors or dietitians or public or had a public health background. And they became such a success in that position that they then became full-time consumer educators and were placed in many of FDA's offices. And again, their job was to inform the public, educate them, whether it was on nutrition or, you know, health risk information. And so this started quite a while back. It was very successful. It just grew to the point where I joined in 1990. There were quite a number of public affairs specialists, and they were very diverse. The majors were different, included communications and media backgrounds. There were a lot of males now, and then persons of very diverse cultural backgrounds, which I think added to the richness of this program and what it could deliver in terms of reaching all the various constituencies that, you know, we serve. We're all over the country. Some offices had one, some offices had actually three or four. So there's been quite a variation as to the history of this program. It's gone through a number of name changes. It started, as I said, as a consumer educator, and then it became a consumer affairs officer. Then when I came in, it became a public affairs specialist. And now the title has switched over to health communication specialist. So there have been variations, but the purpose has remained the same: to inform and educate the public about FDA and share prevention and risk reducing messages. The pillars of our work remain constant: a focus on working with the media, responding to diverse communities, providing exhibits or outreach activities that have a larger reach. It's developed into a workforce that has created a lot of partnerships, connections, and working relationships on behalf of FDA, not too unlike our predecessors. We update stakeholders, distribute information, educate, and listen in order to provide the appropriate service that the consumer wants from us.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Now, this question is for everyone. What would you say is your most rewarding part of your job? And Rosario, we can start with you first.
I think making FDA accessible to the public and clarifying the misunderstandings about our actions and responding to calls, emails, and concerns is probably one of the most rewarding parts of the job. I always said, addressing some topic I wasn't familiar with, that in order to respond to a consumer, it made me research and also get more informed in order to provide them a response. So that was a very rewarding aspect professionally, as well as something that I'm doing with the consumers. In addition, I personally am very proud of the fact that I was able to connect with consumers and constituencies in both English and Spanish language and utilize both media, English and Spanish speaking media, to transmit our information.
Thank you. Maggie, same question for you.
Thanks, Ulysses. For me, the most rewarding part of the job is probably the customer service piece of the mission. The very existence of public affairs specialists in the agency is to serve as a liaison between the public and the FDA. So I believe that, or it is our primary responsibility and duty to help and serve the public as much as we can to promote their health. And so we do this in ways that Rosari already mentioned, but we do this by helping the public seek the information that they're looking for and educating them on different ways to improve their health.
Thank you very much. And Nilda, lastly, what are your thoughts?
Thank you, Ulysses, and thank you for having me. Well, serving as a public affairs specialist really provided numerous rewarding experiences. One of the most satisfying part of my job was to know that what we did was of benefit to others and that it could make a difference in the consumers' lives. Having the confidence that our message was science-based and that it would help our stakeholders make informed decisions about their health and well-being was very important to me. This assured me that the job that we did was an important component to accomplish FDA's public health mission.
Thank you very much. Now, there have been many major moments in the history of the FDA regarding public health. I would like for you guys to think about some of the highlights that you recall working on. Nilda, you can go first, please.
This is a hard question, Ulysses, because I could talk about so many of them. Throughout my career, together with the public affairs colleagues, I worked on many challenges FDA confronted, including nationwide recalls. One of the most compelling cases was the melamine pet food recall around 2007, where many brands of cat and food dog foods were recalled due to contamination with melamine and cyanuric acid. This recall came in response to reports of kidney failure in pets. And talking to consumers, concerns that their pets could be in danger was heartbreaking. I also remember around 2008, the peanut butter salmonella outbreak, which killed 9 people and sickened at least over 700 consumers nationwide and resulted in a huge food recall also. The public affairs staff worked long hours communicating FDA messages to the media and the public. And throughout my career, there were many major moments I will never forget. For example, I had the honor of speaking at a teleconference panel with Surgeon General Dr. David Satcher during National Food Safety Education Month on ORA and CIFSAN's Fight Back campaign. I also had the opportunity to speak at a National Food Safety Conference in Orlando at a panel with other international food safety educators on the work Puerto Rico was doing on food safety education. And on a local and closer project at home here in Puerto Rico, after the devastation of Hurricane Maria in 2017, something that we will never forget, I had the opportunity and honor to work at the Emergencies Operations Center and provide media support to HHS Office of Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. Most recently, I also had the opportunity to serve on ORA's COVID Joint Information Center, which was really intense, but extremely an honorable experience.
Thank you. Rosario, let's go to you. What are your thoughts?
Well, I probably have the longest history in terms of years in this position with the agency. So I have a lot of major moments and history with the agency. I came in the 90s and we had Commissioner David Kessler at that time. And he really brought FDA to the forefront and took on a number of issues, which we as a public affairs specialist handled. For media work, I did a lot of radio and TV interviews at the time because there were so many things that were constantly being at the forefront. I specifically remember the tampered Pepsi case where we suspected tampering of Pepsi cans. And so I did a lot of interviews talking to the public as to how to open the can and try to empty it out to check out and what have you and minimize any potential risk. The cholera outbreak, checking seafood safety concerns. One's very close to my heart is working with the HIV and AIDS Health Fraud Task Force that we had here in California. And that resulted in us, FDA, being able to present a poster at the International AIDS International AIDS Conference held in Geneva, Switzerland in 1998. That was really spectacular because we got to share the work that FDA was doing with our communities in terms of protecting them against fraud with other nations. And in case that they were also, you know, facing this, what things they could do to empower their constituencies. We translated pamphlets in 7 different languages at the time, too. There was the BST controversy. There were a lot of protests against BST to the point that there were protesters outside of my office that were in cow costumes, and I had to report to headquarters as to what was going on. And so while that might sound funny, it was very critical and important because of the message that the public needed to hear, but it was also about staying in touch as to what really caused a stir with the public and what we had to address as public affairs specialists and explain to the public. There were the breast implant alerts and the many calls from women that I listened to from A to Z, wanting them off, wanting them on. And it was just very touching to hear the stories of women who were facing the issue. Dietary supplements, misinformation, commercials trying to correct all those, you know, myths about FDA and dietary supplements, nutrition labeling updates, trying to get jurisdiction over tobacco, and the public hearings that involved. In our office in Los Angeles, we were very instrumental in the start of the Office of Criminal Investigations. And so we were involved with that and telling the public about what we were doing. A lot of recruitment to a lot of initiatives that the agency took on, especially around food safety. And then, of course, the last, like Nilda mentioned, you know, COVID, the response and being alert to all of the information, try to correct that and sending information to all of our constituencies. Big job, but also very empowering as well as just gratifying to be able to share information with many. I've always loved doing the media work. It allows me to highlight and demonstrate the work that FDA professionals do in the laboratories, in the investigation side, in our import operations. I always say it's part of my job to show off the work of ORA and our staff and what they do for the American public. So that's a big factor for me too.
Awesome, I love it. You got a nice storied history here in the FDA and ORA. Maggie. What are your thoughts, being that you are you're the rookie for the most part?
I certainly am a rookie. And so what I have to say is actually, in my memory, it's the most recent and very obvious event that both Nilda and Rosario already mentioned. It's the COVID pandemic, but it really begs recognition. COVID has certainly been the most critical and unique public health event in FDA history, or even the world's history, rather. Along with the rest of the nation, we at the local level as public affairs specialists were wrestling with how and what to communicate to the public during the COVID-19 crisis. We recognized that we were in the front lines to educate the public about, namely, specifically what we'll say, the COVID vaccine. And with that, there were plenty of obstacles in the process. There was vaccine hesitancy, and there was the rise of the infodemic, which is the culture of misinformation and disinformation. And we had to do our part in building confidence in the agency. Events and changes during the pandemic were just occurring rapidly, and we had to constantly adapt our methods under stressful circumstances to communicate. Throughout these events, I believe that there were more lessons learned than successes, honestly. But I think that after post-pandemic, we look back and reflect, and I would say that I think we are better equipped now and have a more robust process in place to face another public health crisis or emergency. The pandemic, I feel like, really taught the agency how to act swiftly and be flexible and creative in how we conduct our outreach.
My next question. So can you tell me what is unique about this position and why it's important to the FDA? Maggie, I'll start with you first.
Sure. I would say that working as a public affairs specialist is a very unique privilege because I am the only one in my district office in Washington covering 5 states in the Pacific Northwest. I cover Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska. And in all of these states, I'm dedicated to investing in communications and outreach. So the public affairs specialist is solely responsible, is the only person responsible in the local area to build connections with local stakeholders, be it industry or consumer or healthcare organizations or nonprofit organizations or other constituents, what have you. And we make sure that they are reached and that they know that they can come to the agency for resources, and the agency is dedicated to protecting the public and emphasizing public health. I feel like the FDA mission is often lost in the public, and they're not really sure what we're doing. So I think it's integral for PAS, or the message to be spread, that our services are useful and they benefit the public. I think the foundational role for the PAS, or the public affairs specialist, is to build public trust and foster collaboration.
Thank you. Rosario, your thoughts?
I think I'll repeat something that I said earlier, and that is that I think what's unique about this position is that it makes FDA accessible to everyday consumers and other constituencies through the cadre of these public affairs specialists that are out in the field. I'll never forget early on in my tenure with FDA, when speaking to an audience of elderly, one gentleman stood up and said, "I can't believe the FDA is here and I can talk to an FDA person." That really left an imprint on me as to what we do for everyday folks. We were there to answer their questions about the agency or correct misinformation, but we made it basically, made ourselves accessible. We bring a federal agency to communities and neighborhoods all around the U.S. and help explain our mission, public health steps to reduce risk, and enhance health. We also help regulated industry understand when new policies are issued, and we assist them in making sure they can comply or how to avoid recalls or other public, you know, risks. And depending on the topic of the day or the season, we get to share information and clarify our recommendations for people to maintain their optimal health. So again, it's being accessible. It's leaving an imprint with them as to what they can do in their everyday life to enhance their health.
Thank you. We are experiencing 70 years of this great foundation. So my next question to you all is, where do you see the evolution of the program going forward? Rosario.
Sure. I would continue on that same vein. I think continued accessibility to the public and correcting or adjusting our messages so they are better understood and perhaps adhered to. I think we always have to improve ourselves. How best to make that message relatable, understood, and clear so they can take the steps that we're recommending. We have a lot of work to do to make the agency connect to all communities and deliver critical health information. We've continually had to adapt to correct and strategize the best way to reach our diverse communities. And there is just a lot of opportunity there and a lot of challenge, but I think that is the major hurdle that we have to continually adapt, making sure we are relatable, that we are providing clear information. That, I think, is where we need to go forward. And I think, as Maggie explained earlier, COVID also was a perfect example of why we do have to improve and adjust to move forward.
Thank you. Maggie, your thoughts on the evolution of the program going forward?
Rosaria took the answer right out from my mouth. I think that I'm not someone who predicts the future typically, but I think the lesson learned that throughout my years in the program is to stay flexible. I think that much can be done to evolve the program for the better, but it will definitely require an investment of resources and training to truly make this program excel.
Thank you very much. Now, Nilda, my dear, dear Nilda, you are newly retired. I would like to know, what are some of your major takeaways that you had about your career here in the public affairs branch?
I had a wonderful and beautiful career with the FDA. Being part of the ORA's public affairs branch gave me the opportunity to work with a group of committed communicators who successfully built on partnerships and alliances to deliver FDA messages. During my career, I learned lifelong lessons, which I will take with me forever. I learned how valuable connections with other people are, and how these relationships we build with one another or professional groups adds to the beam of support on the messages that we want to take forward to the consumers. Though there's much you can create by working alone, I learned that the greatest success often comes when you create and work with a network of colleagues and associations. And another lesson learned during my career was to always look at the bright side and remain positive and look at things with optimism. Every day isn't going to be the best day, and some days can be downright challenging. However, if we can remember to look at the bright side, the difficult days can be just another way to grow in both our careers and in life in general. Ulysses, I must tell you, I enjoyed my job to its fullest, and to this date, I feel I had the best job in the agency. I will forever take with me that I worked with such a group of professionals that strive to give its best. And now that I'm a consumer, I know that I am in good hands. And very important to me, I made lifelong friends.
Like myself. Thank you, Nilda.
Absolutely.
Oh, now, Maggie, you are one of the newer faces as a public affairs specialist. What is your perspective of your work thus far?
I'll say that I love the public affairs specialist role. And I'm not just saying that because we're on this podcast. But the work that we do is truly so important. And it's often overlooked in the agency as a critical piece, I feel. I think relationship and connection building with the public is so important to modify human behavior. If we want to work towards improving public health, we need to invest in education and preventative methods. Especially given the prominence of the infodemic today, we can't just be defending science. We must take active steps to promote science. The work as a public affairs specialist really excites me because I know the potential it can have in a local area. We need to be given the proper training and support to do our work better.
Thank you, Maggie. Wonderful, wonderful information right there. It's almost time for us to end this podcast as we celebrate the 70th anniversary of the Public Affairs Branch. But before we do that, I just want to get to my last question. And this question is to all of you. Most of your job is dealing with the public. How has that experience molded you as a person dealing with public health? And Rosaria, we'll start with you.
I love the job. I think I can only echo what Nilda said. It is the best job in the agency. How has it molded me as a person? I think that it's allowed me to connect, listen, and understand various issues of concerns that folks have about some of the procedures or messages that are delivered by FDA. I've learned not to take it personal and allow individuals to express their concerns and hopefully meet in the middle somewhere. I always said, okay, maybe we can agree to disagree when there was that major difference. But I think it made me a better person by being, again, a good listener and not taking it personal. I always said too, there was never a dull moment working at FDA in this job. It's always exciting. There's always challenges, but for the good, and we learn from them. I again reiterate, it's the best job in the agency. When I came on board, my predecessor and mentor, Ms. Irene Gomez, who also served in the Los Angeles district, told me on day one, this is the best job in the agency. And I've held her to it, and I believe she's been correct every day that I've served in this position. It is the best job in the agency, and I've loved it thoroughly.
Thank you, Rosario. So, Nilda, I pose the same question to you. What are your thoughts?
Well, this job allowed me to further appreciate diversity of thought among us. That's something that I absolutely will take with me, too. You know, that ability to appreciate the diversity of thought among us and to keep an open mind and learn the needs of the public, taking in consideration the different cultures, backgrounds, and personalities. And I'll give you an example. Working from a district primarily Hispanic, because I used to cover Puerto Rico and also the U.S. Virgin Islands, I learned I needed to adapt national consumer campaigns or messages to make the public health message meaningful to the local community I was trying to reach. So it certainly made my job more interesting, and it helped me appreciate the diversity of thought among us. So it's certainly a job that I was very passionate about.
Thank you very much, Nilda. And Maggie, last but not least, what are your thoughts?
I just want to echo everyone's thoughts. I've thoroughly enjoyed this job as well. And being the eyes and ears of the local district as the public affairs specialist serve, I'm able to understand the needs and challenges of the public. And I think that this job has helped me build compassion and understanding for what the local public need. This job has taught me the importance of identifying and reaching out to the community leaders, and leveraging these connections has turned out to be the most effective method for information dissemination. And it's been so rewarding to understand and learn the cultural and social determinants of health. This helps us better cater the information to our targeted audiences. I love that this job has put me in the front lines to deal with the public, and I am a better professional because of it.
Thank you very much, Maggie. Very, very riveting. I appreciate that response. Well, that about does it. Another great episode of ORA Speaks, the podcast that pulls back the curtain and shines the light bright on our field staff. What a great way to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the Public Affairs Branch as we continue to live by the motto that the FDA is committed to public health. I would like to thank my guests, Rosario Quintanilla, Nilda Villegas, and Maggie Fu. You ladies are rock stars, and you did a wonderful job. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. Until next time, my name is Ulysses Garrett, Multimedia Manager for the Office of Communications and Project Management, and this has been ORA Speaks.